Going forward is the title of our message today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. And it's a right now word for each one of us, Lord, as we face what's ahead of ourselves. Lord, we just thank you for the strength and the encouragement to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So good morning. It's a joy to be with all of you. It's been a couple weeks since I have been in the pulpit. Apostle Leon was here, and then I was in Washington, D.C. last weekend, and all the ladies that went, just wave, hallelujah. It was amazing. It was amazing. We had such a wonderful time. There were 52 on the bus that we were on. You may have noticed some cars parked out on the east side of the building. People that were coming from the north parked here. People that were coming from the south parked at Maranatha out in Napanee. And the bus picked us up out there on Royce Avenue. And what an amazing time. 52 Esthers and Mordecais. We had, I think, 8 Mordecais on our bus. And it was a blessing to have the men with us. The men are always a blessing. Hallelujah. We were just honored to have them with us and that they came along with all of us, this Esthers, to pray and to worship. And just a time of repentance and prayer. And I was sharing with Ashley this morning, it's the culmination of years of intercession. And the prayer warriors here, we're a house that prays. We were sent out on many missions by Dr. John Benefil and by Sally Burton from the Intercessors in Indiana. We were sent out on many missions over the last 20 years, just in preparation of what happened in Washington, D.C. It was amazing. You know, you just don't go in and break the stronghold of Ishtar all at once. And for those of you that have never heard my teaching on Ishtar, we need to find it because it's a strategic teaching that involves a lot of what people do in worship at Easter and celebrating Easter. It's tied to the goddess of Ishtar. And so we broke that altar. If you haven't watched it, watch it from the beginning and go through the whole process of repentance and healing for the soul. As a soul physician, I so appreciated how they ministered to the souls. And I guess there were 10 million watching in other nations. 10 million. It was all across the world praying for America. In front of Ina and I went to the restroom and a woman in front of us, actually she was probably 25, 26, she turned around, very friendly, started talking to us, and she said she was from Ecuador. And we said, well, what brings you from Ecuador? And she said, we said, did you come with a group? And she said, no, it's my mom and I. God sent us on this prayer assignment. Because we know how America goes, so will go Ecuador. Powerful testimony of God calling his prayer warriors to move forward with the mandate that he has assigned to us. And so this morning, we are going to teach on this passage in Exodus. And before I go there, I just want to say that I believe I was eternally changed by that day and by that experience. The power and the presence of God just covered us. We prayed and interceded for 9.5 hours. The last half hour we were up getting our stuff together because we didn't want to get caught in all the people getting out to where our bus was going to pick us up at 7. So at 6:30 we started gathering our stuff and heading that direction. But we were still praying and we could still hear everything that was going on. But eternally changed by the presence of God. so powerful. So powerful. And we were facing the Capitol. Hallelujah. And I know some things rattled and shook in the spirit realm over that Capitol. Because God sent his military out. He never called for the church to be a bless me club. A feel good club. The word Jesus used for church is ecclesia. And the ecclesia is a governing body of people. They legislate at the gate. They decided what came into the city and what had to go out. And we are the ecclesia. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So as we prepare to dive into this Exodus 14, Charles Spurgeon said this, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. And the quote is simple, but yet it is profound. And it's important that we realize perseverance is involved in our walk with God. It reminds us that no matter how difficult the path may seem, no matter how impossible the obstacles may appear, we can reach our destination if we keep moving forward in faith. So the passage comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 13 to 15. And it reads like this. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Why are you standing there crying? Go forward." It was a divine directive spoken to a man who was standing at the edge of the Red Sea with a nation of freed slaves looking to him for guidance. And it's really relevant today as it was then. It's a passage that speaks about faith, about moving forward, and about fulfilling our apostolic mandate. It's a passage that invites us to trust God's plan for our life, to step out in faith, and to embrace the assignment that God has given, are actually entrusted with each one of us. It's a passage that encourages us to walk in faith in Christ, to embrace the forward movement of Exodus, and to fulfill our spiritual assignments. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And as we reflect on the story of Exodus, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to the lessons you have for each one of us. Help us to nurture a deeper faith in you, to embrace the forward movement of your plan, and to fulfill the apostolic mission you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's turn our hearts and minds to the Word of God and just take a look at the lessons we can learn through this passage. The first thing is, we're called to cultivate faith in Christ. The story in Exodus is a powerful illustration of the importance of faith in God. When the Israelites were standing on the edge of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was closing in behind them, they were probably filled with fear and doubt. Reality, any one of us would be. And They question Moses, and then they question God, and they question the wisdom of even leaving Egypt. And sometimes we question, why in the world did I ever decide to follow the Lord? It'd be so much easier if I just went back. And those people that you used to be involved with, they'll gladly take you back into your mess again. And you know, they were thinking we had it pretty comfortable in Egypt because we knew every day what was going to happen, right? We all like to know what's going to happen. When we walk by faith and not by sight, we're not sure what's going to happen. And so they're standing on this edge. And God, because he has infinite wisdom and mercy, he had a plan. And he told Moses to tell the people to move forward, to step out in faith, and to trust his divine guidance. So this is the essence of cultivating faith in Christ. It's about trusting in God's plan, even when we can't see the path ahead. You see, they couldn't see a path ahead. But they were going to trust the leader, Moses, because he was hearing from God. And cultivating faith in Christ is about stepping out in faith, even when the way seems impossible. It's about moving forward, even if we have fear and doubt. So, to cultivate faith in Christ, here are some aspects. The first aspect is understanding the nature of faith. Faith is not a blind leap into the unknown. Okay? It's not a blind leap into the unknown. Many people think, well, I'll just have faith, and they take a leap. But it is, the scripture says, it's the substance. There's a substance to faith, of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So the definition of faith would be a confident step into the known. It's knowing that God is who he says he is, and God will do what he says he will do. And it's knowing that God is faithful even when we're faithless. So we're taking a confident step into the known. What do we know? We know the faithfulness of God. We know that his word performs what it is sent out to do. We know if God promised it, he will bring it to pass. It's not a blind leap. It is a step of confidence because we know who our God is. Somebody shout hallelujah. So we're to listen, we're to follow, and we're to move. Last week, Pastor Dave said, God speaks it, we repeat it, and God completes it. God speaks it, we listen for it. We repeat it, and we follow. You see, faith without works is dead. You've got to have some action with it. You can repeat, repeat, repeat all day long. Come on. But we have to do something. We've got to move with the Lord. And then, yes, God completes it. We follow him, we move, and God completes it. That step of faith, because we know our God. I'm so glad I know God. I was thinking today, Leonard and I have been in ministry for 43 years. And we are the founders of Praisers Ministry, and that ministry is 30 years old. And so we've been in ministry a long time. And I'm so thankful I know God. I'm so thankful that he's faithful. I'm so thankful that he speaks to us. I'm so thankful that he gives us clarity in what we are to do. Thank you, Jesus. The next thing is cultivating a relationship with God. That's like number one on our list. When people come into the church, the number one thing we want you to know is the voice of your heavenly Father, and to develop a relationship with Him. Because this is a two-way relationship. Once again, we listen to God's voice. We seek His face. And we follow His lead. It's a relationship where we spend time in God's Word. We spend time in prayer. And we spend time in fellowship with other believers. In worship and praise and rejoicing and magnifying the Lord. It takes a group of people to magnify how great He is. And all the things that He's done. This is how we cultivate a relationship with God. The third aspect of cultivating faith is living out our faith in everyday life. This is not about putting on a show so others can see. It's about living a life that's pleasing to God when nobody's looking. It's about making decisions that honor God. It's about treating others with love and respect. And it's about serving others in the name of Christ. This is how we live out our faith in everyday life. The fourth aspect of cultivating faith in Christ is sharing our faith with others. This is not about forcing our beliefs on others. It's not about being a Bible thumper. It's about sharing the love of Christ with others in a gentle and respectful manner. It's about being a light in a dark world. It's about being salt in a tasteless world. And it's about being a voice of hope in a hopeless world. This is how we share our faith with others. So in the story of Exodus, God didn't just tell the Israelites to move forward. He showed them the way. How did He do that? Well, you remember the wind started to blow. And the water started to pile up on each side as God parted the Red Sea. You know, many times when you're getting ready, when God is asking you to move forward, you begin to feel the wind of the Spirit blowing. As we were transitioning into different aspects on Saturday, there were times that the wind actually changed directions and began to blow from the other direction. It was a witness of the Spirit of God. He was blowing on what we were doing, blowing on the sacrifice of praise, blowing on our prayers. Amazing how God will speak to us in so many ways. And then He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He provided for their needs in the wilderness. And in the same way, God doesn't just tell us to foster faith in Christ. He shows us the way. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Spirit. And He gives us His Son. This is the grace of God. This is the love of God. This is the mercy of God. And this is the power of faith in Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? The second point is a forward movement in Exodus. You know, Moses and the Israelites were at the edge of the Red Sea, and the command from God was clear. Let the people of Israel go forward. Tell them. Start moving. Has God ever spoke to you about, you got to get moving? Have you ever felt that? You know, there's been many times in the ministry, Prophet Vanessa and I, it's like we know a supernatural charge of God has come upon us and upon Apostle Leonard because God says it is time to begin to move forward in this particular area. And we just know. We know by the Spirit of God. And if you run a business and you trust God, you know when God is supernaturally charging you with strength that you did not have on your own. When you're raising a family, you know when God is supernaturally charging you with strength to push through difficult situations. The wind of the Spirit begins to blow and begins to charge us. It like ignites something in us, and we become more alert to listen to the Lord, to His next command. And Israel's command was to go forward. And this was more than a geographical direction. It was a spiritual mandate. It was a call to action. And it still echoes and resonates with us today when the Lord begins to tell us to move forward. And that's moving forward in whatever your assignment is. You should know your assignment from the Lord. If you don't know what your purpose is in this life, then we can help you. Knowing your personal God-given purpose is so important because everything is assigned around your purpose. Thank you, Jesus. You should be able to just tell us what your purpose is. What is your purpose? Thank you, Jesus. My personal purpose is to provide a safe and loving environment where the wisdom of God is taught and released that will nourish and encourage everyone around me. That's my purpose. That's what I've done my whole life. I didn't discover that until I was 40 years old. But when I look back, I know that's what I did in my family. That's what I did as a mom. That's what I did as a Sunday school teacher. That was my assignment. And God positioned me in the church. He told me in the third grade I was going to pastor. So, you know, people telling me a woman couldn't pastor, it had never even crossed my mind because in the third grade you don't think about things like that. And I can remember when we were out in the inner city and doing outreaches, I remember one little girl walked up to me and she just kept rubbing my hand. And I said, can I pray with you about something? She said, no. She's just little. She's just staring up at me. And she said, I have never seen a woman pastor. She was just absolutely shocked. So, you know, probably the call on her life is to pastor, right? Thank you, Lord. So the first thing we notice in this Exodus movement is the urgency in God's command. There's no room for hesitation and doubt. The Israelites are to move forward, to press on, and to advance. This isn't a casual stroll. Like I said, there have been times that the Lord has just charged us and we know there are specific things we have to get done within the ministry. Because God has something on the horizon. And so you just push, push, push. And so they were to move forward with a determined march. And that's what we do. We move forward with a determination. God told me, I don't understand it all. I don't need to understand it all. You know, I've asked God questions and He doesn't answer me. It's like, this is what He told me one day. He said, you'll know when you need to know. Did your mama ever say, because I told you so? Well, it's the same way with God. So, marching forward, they were on a mission, a divine mission, and they had to keep moving. So this forward movement isn't just about physical progress. It's about spiritual growth. Israelites, they were not just journeying from Egypt to the promised land. They were transitioning. There's transitions involved. They were going from slavery to freedom. They were going from oppression to liberation. And they were going from despair to hope. And this forward movement is a metaphor for their spiritual journey, a symbol of their faith journey. Are you on a faith journey? Are you on a faith journey for the Lord Jesus Christ? The Israelites are to go forward and not backward. Our opening video said there's only two directions. You're either driving forward or you're in reverse, right? I know Brother Dave last week talked about not looking in the rearview mirror. We are called to move forward. They weren't to return to Egypt, to the land of their slavery. That was their place of oppression. God had called them to move forward to the promised land, to the place of freedom. Sometimes we have to press through issues in our life and deal with difficult things in our soul and in our past to be able to push forward into that freedom. If you choose not to and you keep looking back at your pain, God's saying to you this morning, why are you crying? Why are you crying? I can take care of that. I am the good shepherd. I watch over your soul. I will heal you. I will restore you. I'll give you peace again. But we have to make that choice to leave those things behind and not keep looking back. Hallelujah. So it's a forward movement, and it's a testament of their faith and a demonstration of their trust in God. Will you trust God with the difficult situations in your life? You know, sometimes people are so embarrassed and they carry so much shame, they don't even want to yield to the Lord. But let me tell you, God already knows all about it. He was there in the midst of everything that happened to you and in the midst of everything that you did. And He still loves you and He's still reaching out to you and He's still pulling you close to Him. So just give it to Him. You know, it's easier just to say, yes, Lord. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I know that You're going to get me the help that I need. Thank You, Lord. So this was a pilgrimage, a journey to the place of God's promise for them, to the land of God's blessing. The Hebrew word study. In the original Hebrew text, the word used for go forward is nasa, N-A-S-A. There is a branch of the government named NASA, N-A-S-A. God probably had a hand in that. But the word carries the connotation of breaking camp, pulling up stakes, and setting out on a journey. Breaking camp, pulling up stakes, and setting out on a journey. How many of you here just love to move? You just love to move your house. There's a couple that just love to move, like pack and move everything out of your house. You know, that's like the last thing that I would want to do. We've lived in our house a really long time. How many of you know you collect a whole lot of stuff when you live in a place for a really long time? So maybe at times we should just pretend like we're going to move and just begin to purge things, you know? But anyway, it means to pull up those stakes and to set out on a journey. I always think about the children of Israel because I just know raising a family. Can you imagine when the cloud would begin to move? And so the children of Israel knew they had to break camp. And so they had to pull up the stakes. They had to pack everything up. And you have all your kids to gather together. Can you imagine? I mean, they'd be saying, but Mom, but Dad, I'm too tired. I don't want to carry anything. We just got here. Yeah. We know how kids are, don't we? We just got here, and I was just enjoying, and now I got to move again. It's like, yeah, we do. Didn't give us a choice. When the cloud moved, you better move. You know, God doesn't always ask you if it's going to be convenient and if it's really what you want to do. Is that true? When God gives us an assignment, it's not always about convenience. It's about His plan, His design, His mission, because it's all about Him. And He never asks your permission. Of course, you cannot participate, but you're going to feel really, really bad. Have you ever chose not to participate when you know God was asking you to do something? And that conviction from the Holy Spirit comes on you, and it's like you start to squirm. Hallelujah. So in each instance, the word nasah signifies purposeful, determined, and faith-filled movement towards the fulfillment of God's promises. That's what I want. How about you? God, you can inconvenience me as long as it's your will. Is that how you feel? Lord, it's okay. I'll take the assignment. And so when we consider the forward movement in Exodus, we also see the importance of obedience. The Israelites are commanded to go forward, to obey God's directive, to follow His lead. The obedience isn't blind or mindless. It's informed and it's intentional. Over the years, we've made decisions here in the ministry that some people may not understand, but it is always intentional. You see things begin to shift and change because that was God's command. And when it is intentional, things begin to happen. And once again, it's not for us to know everything. But this is about obedience that stems from faith and that is rooted in trust. Because when you obey God and you've seen Him keep His promise, you know you can trust Him. Then it fuels that hope that's on the inside of you. Because the outcome is going to even be greater than what you ever expected. And that's what He had in store for them. So finally, we see the role of courage in moving forward. The Israelites are facing the Red Sea. There's an insurmountable obstacle, a barrier in front of them. Yet they're commanded to go forward and to face their fears and to confront this challenge. Have you ever been confronted with a few challenges in life? Probably every day, a few challenges. But this courage isn't natural or human. It's supernatural and it's divine. It is a courage that comes from God, that's empowered by the Spirit, that is sustained by His grace. And it is with courage that we leave what's familiar to us and step over the line into what is unfamiliar, to follow the Lord, to listen to God, to follow His lead, to move. So in the end, the forward movement in Exodus isn't about the Israelites and us. It is about our faith journey, our spiritual growth, our obedience to God, our courage to face challenges. And it's about moving forward in faith, pressing on in hope, and advancing in love. It's about being the people of God, the children of the King, disciples of Christ. It's about being who God has called us to be, and do what God has called us to do, and become who God has called us to become. Fulfilling our spiritual journey, and we're bringing this to a close. The first aspect of fulfilling our spiritual mission revolves around an understanding of the purpose of our existence. Do you know why you exist? What, you know, people have gotten so far away from the Bible, they've lost their entire sense of identity. We were designed by God. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That means that God has a plan for each of us. He has a mission that he has specifically designed for us. And you know what? Since he designed us, he has given us the gifts and the abilities and the talent to accomplish whatever he has assigned to us. That excites me. He's not given you an assignment that you can't accomplish. He's already given you all of the tools that you need to fulfill it. So this commitment requires an active engagement with our faith and a willingness to step out of our comfort zones. I ask you to step out of your comfort zone this morning. Y'all have your little space. You're comfortable with what's around you. And ask you to go back and set together in a smaller location. See, we're pretty spoiled to this big building. But yet you sit in the same seat. Go figure. But anyway, getting out of our comfort zone and taking a risk for the sake of the gospel. So it requires perseverance. It requires a determination to keep going, even when things get tough. How many of you have that determination? You can keep going when things get tough. You know, that is one of the key things of being mature, is that you can do difficult things. All of you know that when you're teaching your children, sometimes children just go, oh, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. I remember telling my dad that once and he spanked me. Well, that was the last time I said that. So when Dad asked me to do something, I just figured I must be able to do it. Oh, are you shocked that, yeah, we used to spank children. Everybody's looking at me like, spank? Oh, well, some of you needed it. And I probably needed it because the last thing you should do is talk back to your dad. Okay, so moving on. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And all of the years of ministry, as I shared with you before, it is amazing to see this territory and how it has been seeded. And I see the results of that as I see people here and there, and they stop and they thank me for what they learned at the river and what they were imparted and what they were taught. On the bus trip, there was a woman on the bus trip. Her name is Yvonne Brown. And we helped her and her husband plant a church in Garrett, Indiana. And just a delightful couple. Their whole team would come up every Friday night for School of the Holy Spirit. We trained their team in the prophetic. We trained them in restoring the foundations and deliverance and healing. And they planted a team in Garrett, Indiana. And they bought a Masonic temple to put it in. Glory to God. So our prayer teams were going down often because the Lord would keep revealing things that needed to be prayed over and removed from this Masonic temple, because even though the Masons had built it strategically for their worship of a false god, God is greater. Every knee will bow. The blood of Jesus is greater. You can cancel the curse. You can break the power of sin and death and the curse that has been placed upon yourself, upon objects in your house, upon your workplace. You have the authority Jesus Christ has given to you. But anyway, it was so nice to see her. I haven't seen her in years. And she said that, you know, they eventually closed the church because her husband got very sick and they ended up moving to Fort Wayne. But she thanked me and thanked me for all that we did for them and all that we poured into them and all of the good that they were able to do in Garrett, Indiana. Glory to God. That she was on the bus. She said, Pastor Janet, is that you? And I had to look at her for a little bit before it finally registered to me who that was, because, you know, years kind of change your looks. I'm just saying. But something else really neat that happened on that trip, there were several women on that trip that worked for and worked with the children that came every Tuesday night for 5 years. You know, and the Lord had told us to... in May to let them know that we were not going to open the building for them this year. And that we love them, but that was how God, you know, God gives you assignments. They're intentional. There are necessary endings to things so that you can move on. But three different women came up to me during that trip that I'd never met before and thanked us for opening our building to the inner city kids to come in, to be mentored, to have worship, to play games, and just study God's word. It was an amazing work that really blessed my heart, because that's what we did in our beginning years of Praisers Ministries. That's what we did. We picked up inner city kids. We had an inner city outreach, and I absolutely love that. We probably did it for the first 15, 16 years of the ministry. And so when the Lord told me to lay that down, I said, oh, not just me, but the church. It's time to lay it down. Has God ever told you to lay down something that you absolutely love to do? He does. And it's about your obedience. And he says, and I'll resurrect it according to my design. And he did. And you know what? It was a kingdom work. It wasn't one church doing it. It was a whole group of churches working together to bring these children into the house of the Lord. And those kids considered this their church, because this is the only time they got to church. And the Lord blessed them and strengthened them. And it blessed my heart, because I realized, God, you made it into a kingdom work, because that is what God's doing in this season. There are apostolic prophetic connections that God has made for strategic reason, because he is building this territory and establishing us for his glory. His glory. Thank you, Lord. C.S. Lewis quote says this: hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. And the quote reminds us that the path to fulfilling our spiritual mission may not always be easy. And it can be filled with challenges and obstacles. But you know, I was telling our team the other day, I love our team. We are resilient. Our leadership team amazes me how we are so resilient and can just work together and accomplish the goal that we're supposed to have. It's like challenges are like, hey, it's a challenge. Let's go. You know, it's on. Let's go. We're ready. And you might remember for anniversary service one year, a squirrel decided to commit suicide and jump into a transformer. Do you remember that year? And we were just getting ready for Apostle Leon to preach. And all the lights went out. So all the sound went down. And we had all kinds of food cooking in the kitchen. And we had no lights in the gym. But I knew the team would know what to do and take care of it. And Elder Ron, he gathered people together. He got his generators and he got the electricity going so our food could keep cooking. And the people that were helping in the gym set up food and get ready for us to come in there, they found candles. I'm not sure where all those candles came from, but every table had plenty of candles on it. And we went in after service, after Apostle Leon just, he doesn't need a microphone. Hallelujah. After he preached his message, and we went in and we had a nice candlelight dinner. We didn't miss a beat. That's the team. That's the team God put together. I love it. So another aspect, the second aspect of fulfilling our spiritual mission, involves living out our faith in our everyday lives. It should be evident that the Lord Jesus Christ is on the inside of us by the way we conduct ourselves and by the way we treat people and interact with our family and our friends. It should be evident that the love of God and Christ is in you. Jesus said we're the light of the world, and we're to reflect God's love to everyone around us. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that means that our life should serve as a testimony to the transformative power of Christ's love. When people meet you, you may know someone from years ago, and you meet them again, and you know the love of God has continued to work in their heart and change them. Have you ever noticed that? People mature and grow and they change. Thank you, Lord, for your love and the power of God. So we're talking about fulfilling a spiritual mission. Let us commit ourselves to understanding our purpose, to persevering in our faith, to living out our faith in our everyday lives, and to be a light in the world. So hold on to this truth that God is always moving us forward. He's always challenging us. He leads us through every challenge and trial. And even if we can't see the path clearly, and I know some of you are here today, you're not sure about the path. But He's got a plan for each one of us, and a plan that's good and filled with hope for each one of us that are connected to the vision, God's vision. Hallelujah. And remember, it's not about the speed that you move at, but it's about the direction you're going. Like the little snail who finally reached the ark, we too will reach our God-given destination. And I'm like, a lot of times I've gotten prophetic words that says, you're like a racehorse. Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? And Apostle Leonard is a Clydesdale. And that's why God connected us together. He's steady. He keeps going. And I'm ready to run. And so we balance each other out. And that's what married couples should do. Balance each other out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.